for all things beautiful and good and true, for things that seemed not good, yet turned to good, for light and air, sweet scents of sound and smell, for ears to hear the heavenly harmonies, for eyes to see the unseen in the seen, for vision of the worker in the work, for hearts to apprehend thee everywhere. We thank thee, Lord.
Our selection. Our Heavenly Father, today we try to attempt the impossible. The impossible of expressing to thee the gratitude of our hearts for all that thou hast done for us. We thank thee for the meaning and the purpose of life which we have discovered in Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the redemption which has been brought to our lives because of thy love for us. We thank thee for the fellowship that we share here, one with the other. And we pray, our Father, that we might demonstrate how grateful we really are by serving thee and loving thee and demonstrating this love for thee in our love for one another and in our love for others in this world. We pray in the name of our Savior. Amen.
America, I suppose, as no other nation under the sun, has received an overabundance of material wealth. History is yet to record any such great general prosperity. In like manner, there has been great opportunity for spiritual blessing. Our founding fathers wisely added to our Constitution, as the first article of the Bill of Rights, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So America became more than a land of religious toleration. It became a land of freedom of religion, where men could think and preach and publish the sincere convictions of their hearts. The gauntlet was thrown to Christians. Theirs was the opportunity and responsibility of making a vast, new, ever-growing nation Christian, or letting it bask simply in the pleasure of its seemingly unlimited natural resources. Today, the nation stretches from shore to shore, into the Pacific and into the far north. At least a nominally Christian nation has been produced, but the task of Christianity continues to expand rather than to diminish. Truly, our nation has been blessed, but these very blessings have been so perverted by us that they have all too often become the means of evil. In our studies of the nation of Israel, we necessarily study the question of her election. The great mass of Israelites seem to feel that their election was based on some peculiar merit that God found in them. Indeed, many of the leaders acted under this persuasion, and a spirit of exclusivism developed. For this reason, the prophets were constantly reminding the people that her election was for service, not for merit and favor, that hers was a missionary and sharing ministry. Israel never seemed to understand and suffered the inevitable consequences of her actions. Today, we often piously like to wag our fingers at Israel and say, she brought it on herself. But before we throw our fingers out of joint, we had better try to apply the lessons learned there to our own day and our own nation. Certainly, we must be careful about how we apply the concept of election, for improper concepts have led to such monstrosities as Hitler's super race. The mass of Americans today have become blinded by the very blessings that God has seen fit to bestow upon them, feeling that they are a peculiarly elected people, and perhaps many of us have felt this same way. We become so engrossed in the blessing that we fail to see the responsibility. America has developed an exclusivism all her own, not willing to be outdone by the Israelites or anyone else. This is evidenced in the spirit of isolationism so prominent in our country before World War II, and which has not yet died out. It is evidenced in the poor treatment afforded many groups of foreigners who migrate to our country. It is evidenced in the shabby treatment we afford a race whose ancestors were carried to these shores by force. We still are not quite willing to share the blessings of, quote, the American way of life, unquote, with these groups. With every blessing that has been given us, there has been given at least an equal responsibility. There is no blessing without responsibility. Blessings are not hoarded, but shared. The blessing that we guard so closely that other men might not share, that we try to enclose in our own little lives, soon cankers and becomes not a blessing, but a liability. A blessing becomes a blessing only as it is shared, for in this freedom it multiplies a thousandfold, blessing the giver who now finds the meaning of the blessing increased rather than diminished, blessing the receiver who is in need, and through him perhaps blessing untold numbers that we shall never see. We are beginning to feel the compulsion to share the gospel with all mankind, but we have not yet fully understood that our material abundance must also be shared. How can America ever really justify the deliberate destruction of tons and tons of foodstuffs because they are surplus, when half or more of the world's population is underfed and goes to bed hungry every night, many to die of starvation? There is no such thing as a surplus as long as men are dying of starvation. Is it any wonder, then, that these starving masses look askance at our missionaries when they proclaim the love of Jesus Christ, which is to characterize his followers, and yet find such near utter disregard? Is it any wonder that such masses have turned to a system which offers them, if not a God, at least a sharing among men and food in their stomachs? As Christians, we must certainly share the gospel, but we must also share of our material abundance. Someone, in speaking of the parable of the Good Samaritan, has said that the priest and Levite who passed by without helping the hurt man were not necessarily unconcerned. In fact, they probably were interested and concerned, but they were not concerned enough to become involved at their own expense. The question is, are we concerned enough to become involved? Actually, we have outdone Israel, for she was a poor country with little resources she could have shared with her neighbors had she so chosen. But we have both a message and great resources to share, and we have done very little about sharing either. There will probably always be those who argue that we must more nearly Christianize our own land and blight out poverty at home before we began to dabble in the affairs of others. We, of course, have our duty at home, but this argument is unfounded. The early church gave its very best to the mission effort, and both the church and the effort prospered. An old military axiom states that a war be fought on only one front, if at all possible. This, of course, is due to the natural limitations of supply and manpower and control. The Christian effort need not be so confined, for we serve a God unlimited, or at least limited only insofar as he wills to be limited in power. Remembering our blessings, and giving thanks for them. Let us remember those who have not been so fortunate. Let us remember that blessings do not come apart from responsibility, and that true thankfulness and blessing do not exist apart from sharing. Let us pray. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no man evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all men. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you forever.